I want to get into this message today. We're in the fourth and final week of the series called It's Real. And the first week, Kim brought a powerful, amazing message about the Bible, about the Word of God, that it's real. Week two, I spoke to you about heaven, and week three, I spoke to you about hell. This week, I'm going to talk to you about the rapture. The rapture, it's real. I want you to turn to two scriptures. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 24 through 34, and hold that. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes. Luke 17, 24. Hold that scripture, and then go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Okay, Luke 17, 24, then 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. As you're turning there, before I read this scripture in 1 Thessalonians, I want to tell you something. There are three things that I hope that you see today. Three things, okay? You might want to write these down. The first thing is I want you to see that the rapture is real. The rapture is real. Can you say amen to that? If you can't, I hope hopefully by the end of this message today you will. The second thing I want you to see is that only those who are ready will go. Only those who are ready will go in the rapture. And the third thing is, according to Scripture, I believe, according to Scripture, that it will happen before the tribulation. And I'm going to show that to you today. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up. Now, this is the Greek word. This caught up is the Greek word harpazo, and it means, and it's the Latin word rapturo. Greek word harpazo, Latin word rapturo, and it's where we get our word rapture from, rapturo. It says they will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another, or each other, with these words. Okay, the word harpazo or rapturo means to seize hastily or to snatch away. That's what that word means, seize hastily or snatch away. Like I said, I'm going to share with you these things today, not only to show you that the rapture is real, but also to show you that it is not the same thing as the second coming of Jesus. They're two separate events. And I'm going to show you that today briefly. But there's several things I want you to get in this today. First, let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. And look at this with me, 1 Corinthians 15, 50. It'll be on the screen, and also we have the YouVersion app. All the scriptures are there today. It says, what I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will not die or will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. All right, so this phrase, in a moment, is the Greek word atomos. In a moment, atomos, and it's meaning an indivisible amount of time. It means too small to measure, is what this means. In a moment means too small to measure, atomos. It means before you can say now. Like, it's before that. Look at somebody around you and say now as fast as you can. Okay, look at somebody else. Say it faster, as fast as you can, now. Come on, you can say it faster. Do it one more time. Say it again. Okay, all right. Well, it's a million times faster than that. That's what that means, all right? Like a million times faster than the fastest you can say now. I just want to stop and pause for a second because I know we can get lost in this. We could breeze by this too quickly. I want you to understand the magnitude of this. I want you to understand the power of this statement in a moment. It's very powerful. I don't know how many of you were around a few years ago when I spoke about the message, How Great is Our God, and I talked about how big he is, the universe, how he created all of the universe and all the stars in the universe, even just the ones that we know about, and how humongous they are. And then I also talked about how intricate and detailed it is, down to the very cells of our body and the atoms in our body, how small and detailed God gets. I mean, he's just amazing, right? Think about this. In a moment is a million times faster than you can to take a breath. It's a million times faster than you can say a word. It's so quick. It will happen so fast. This moment that we're talking about today, the rapture, will happen so fast that you won't even realize it happened for a few moments. I was thinking about this morning because they were singing this song and we were just focused on Jesus. I loved the worship set this morning, just so focused on Jesus. And I was thinking, man, there will be people in churches all over the world. If Jesus returns, if this rapture takes place while church service is going on in some parts of the world, there will be people in church services all over the world that they're worshiping or they're checking their phones or they're doing whatever they do during worship service. And in the moment before, the worship team's up there singing, and then a moment later, maybe all the worship team's gone, or hopefully all the worship team's gone, or most of the worship team's gone. Hopefully I'm gone. Hopefully you're gone. But you know what I'm saying? But the reality of this is because the broad is the road and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but narrow the gate, narrow the road that leads to eternal life, and only a few find it. Whew, I said that really fast. Is that there will be so many people that will be in worship services looking at their phones or doing whatever they're doing or worshiping in one moment, and then all of a sudden they look and the worship team's gone, or there are people around them that are gone and they don't even know what happened. Because it happened so fast, they didn't even realize, it didn't even compute, because our brains cannot fathom how quick this will happen. Are you getting this? Okay. I think I spent enough time on that. So let me show you how Jesus describes the rapture in Scripture. Luke 17. Go to Luke 17. That's the Scripture I wanted you to turn to. Luke 17, 24 through 35. I want you to look at this. Listen to me. Look at this. I want you to highlight it. If you have a paper Bible with a highlighter or a pen, if you have an electronic Bible, you can highlight it. I want you to hold on to the Scripture. You're going to need this in the coming days and years. Okay? Hopefully in only the coming days. Luke 17, 24. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other, so it will be on the day when the Son of Man comes. This is the rapture. Let me just stop. This is the rapture. Jesus is talking about an event that takes place privately in the sky. This is what he's talking about. As lightning flashes and lights up the sky. Why is he saying it like this? Because he's telling us something. He's giving us something that we can understand and comprehend. He's giving us something that we deal with all the time. It's about to be spring. Please, Jesus, let it be spring real soon here. It's about to be spring, and we're about to see a lot of lightning flashing across the sky. So he's saying this is an event that will take place in the sky. But look at verse 25. But first, the Son of Man must suffer terribly and be rejected by this generation. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time. You need to highlight that. Right up to the time. He's talking about a single moment in time here. A single moment. In a moment. Same word. Single moment in time. Not a season. Not a period of time. It's a moment. It hadn't rained yet. This is before the flood. This is pre-flood. Okay, you got this? Noah entered his boat and the flood came and destroyed them all. And the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom. Again, it's a single moment. The morning that he left Sodom. Jesus is talking about a moment here, a single moment in time. The angel told Lot, he said, we cannot judge this place until you are gone. Pre-wrath. We cannot judge this place, Lot, until you're out of here. You get this? And so the fire, it says this, until the morning Lot left Sodom, then the fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Noah got on the ark, and then the flood came. Lot left Sodom, and then the fire and burning sulfur came. You're getting this? Pre-wrath. Jesus goes on to say in verse 30, yes, it will be business as usual, right up to the day, again, the day, highlight that, that's the moment when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, on that moment, a person out on the deck of his roof must not go on into his house and pack. A person out in the field must not return home. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. Now, let me just stop here and highlight this. This is so important. You need to highlight that. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. Very short verse, but so powerful. What Jesus is talking about here is so powerful, and if we miss it, we're going to miss the whole point of the rapture. Remember, what happened to Lot's wife? Somebody tell me. Turned into a pillar of salt. Why? She turned back. She looked back, right? If you don't know the story, if you don't know that this is truth, not a story, it's just truth. Lot, the angels came and they swept Lot and his family out of Sodom. They took them away. Actually, if you read the story, this is very powerful. If you read the story, they were in Sodom. The angels were there and there were some terrible things happening there. You can read about it. And the angels said, we need to get you out of here because God's going to come and judge. He's going to come bring tribulation upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we have to take you away. And they were hesitant. They hesitated, the Bible said. And the angel seized, the Bible says the angel seized Lot's hand. Guess what that word means? Same word. To sweep away, to snatch away. Seized Lot's hand and swept his family away. Took them out. Now they went on their own, but the angels took them and said, we got to go. It's the urgency of the moment. And I'm telling you today, and I've got a lot to get to, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but you need to hear this. I'm telling you today, we're in an urgent moment in time. You won't be able, if you're in this building or you're watching live stream today, you will not be able to stand before the Lord and say, I wasn't warned. I didn't know. Nobody told me. You're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to bring back moments like this and bring back to your remembrance moments like this. If you didn't listen, if you didn't pay attention, if you didn't take heed to the words that the Lord's trying to give to you today. And we're in an urgent moment in time, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah, just like in the days of Noah. We're in an urgent moment in time. If we don't listen to the Lord, then he's going to come and snatch away those who are ready. And there'll be so many people left behind. But look what he says. He says, remember what happened to Lot's wife. She looked back. I believe that there are so many people today, so many Christians today that are so attached to this life on earth that Jesus is going to come and sweep away and there'll be so many that are left behind just because they're attached to this life. That's why this morning, Lydia, what a beautiful worship set this morning. Thank you for that. Perfect. You didn't know what I was speaking about. You didn't know that God was going to highlight this in the message today, that it was going to be about this moment. Jesus is saying here, you need to be so caught up in me that when I come, I will take you away and snatch you away. You need to be so caught up in my presence, so caught up in me. I need to be the center of your life. Lot's wife knew that she was being taken to safety, but she was so caught up in the life in Sodom that she had to turn around and look back. She was worried about what she was leaving behind. She was concerned about the life that they had created in Sodom. And there are so many believers that are so concerned with this life on earth and all that you've created, and you've worked hard for retirement, and you got that little home, that your retirement home, and you got that little nest egg put away and all of those things, and you're so ready for your retirement that I wonder and I worry that if Jesus came today, would you be looking back and saying, wow, what a waste. I love something that our executive pastor, Rod Bricker, says. He says this all the time. He said, plan like Jesus isn't coming back for 100 years, but live like he's coming back today. I love that. And what he's saying when he says that, if you don't understand it fully, what he's saying is it's not invest everything in this life. It's like that you plan for what Jesus has for your life if you're going to be here for another 100 years, but you live like he could come back right now. And what that is, what that mindset is that, well, then you're not worried about what you spend on this and what you use on this and what you're using for the kingdom of God. You're going to give it all for Jesus. You're going to give it all for Jesus. You know that it's all about the kingdom of God. Your entire life is about the kingdom of God. It's all about Jesus. Amen? And if it's all about Jesus, then shouldn't we be caught up in his presence every day? Every moment of every day? Shouldn't every step that we take be about his kingdom and what it will accomplish on this earth for him and for his glory? Absolutely. And that's what Jesus was saying. In fact, and if you question that, then look at verse 33. Jesus goes on, just in case you don't understand what he's saying, remember what happened to Lot's wife, verse 32, verse 33. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let go of your life, you will save it. That night, two people will be asleep in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Listen, people, this is the rapture Jesus is talking about. This is the rapture. This is also clear that Jesus could not be talking about the end of the tribulation, because during the tribulation, it will not be business as usual, let me tell you. How many of you know that? Has anybody read about the tribulation? Jesus said here, let me go back to the scripture, verse 30, yes, it will be business as usual right up to the day, the moment that he comes. To me, and I'll show you several more scriptures, this is clear that he's not talking about post-tribulation. This rapture, I'm telling you, you can take it to the bank, will happen pre-tribulation. Look at look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who, watch this, delivers us from the wrath to come. Guess what the wrath is? The tribulation. Who delivers us from the wrath to come. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1. It's kind of lengthy, but I'm going to read it all. 1 through 11. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord, this is the rapture, this is that moment, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them, as in labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But, now watch, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. In other words, this is going to come like a thief upon those who are not ready, but those who are ready will not be surprised. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has not destined us for wrath. He has not destined us for tribulation, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, that means dead or alive, alive or dead, that we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Go to Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36. It's Jesus speaking. Luke 21, 34. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the earth. Now listen, because many people take that scripture, it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the earth. That means a lot of people use this particular phrase to say that even though we are Christians and everything, that this means post-tribulation, because we're going to have to go through it, because everybody's going to experience this day. Yeah, we're going to experience the day, but we're going to experience it different from those who are not ready. Because watch the next scripture. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape, not endure, escape all the things that are going to take place and stand before the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, don't fall asleep and don't get caught unaware. Stay alert. But he's also, again, saying, he's coming in line again with the scripture. It's the word of God. It's complete. He's coming in line saying the same things that I've been saying to you this morning. When Noah entered the ark, the rain started and the flood came and the world was trapped in judgment. When Lot left Sodom, the fire came down and fell, and all who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah were trapped in judgment. When the rapture happens to this world, all who are still living here on this earth will be trapped in judgment. Jesus said, but you be ready to escape that judgment. ready to escape. That word escape is ekphlego. Ekphlego means to leave a place. It means to leave a place. You be ready to leave a place. It actually means this. This is the definition. To seek safety in flight. Oh, come on. You be ready to ekphlego. You be ready to fly away. Because that's what's going to happen. When that day comes, you're going to fly away and you're going to escape the judgment that's coming upon this earth. Do you see it? Why would Jesus tell us to be ready to escape if we could not escape the coming tribulation? Why would he do that to us? Let me show you a beautiful type and shadow of the rapture. I'm going to take a few minutes to show you this and then wrap this message up. Let me show you a beautiful type and shadow. You say, well, what is a type and shadow? A type and shadow is an example. An example of this type and shadow, or a type and shadow, is given in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Hebrews 10, 1 says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. So here's a type and shadow. A type and shadow is the ancient Jewish wedding. If you don't know about the ancient Jewish wedding, I'm about to show you something today that beautifully describes the rapture and the bride of Christ and what's going to take place in such a wonderful way. And why wouldn't it? Because God designed it this way, this Jewish wedding. So take a look at this. The Jewish wedding has three aspects that you need to understand. The wedding contract, which is the betrothal. The wedding ceremony, which is where the groom receives the bride. And the wedding feast, where the guests are invited to the celebration. So let me just describe the wedding contract, okay? The wedding contract, the betrothal, goes like this. When a young man desires to marry a young woman in ancient Israel, he would prepare a contract or a covenant to present to the young woman and to her father and to the young woman's home. At the young woman's home, I'm sorry. The contract showed his willingness to provide for the young woman and described the terms under which he would propose marriage. The most important part of the contract was the bride price. This is the price that the young man was willing to pay to be married to the young woman. Jesus, now watch this. Jesus came to the home of his bride, Earth, to present a marriage contract. The marriage contract provided by Jesus is in the new covenant, which provides the forgiveness of sins for God's people. Jesus paid the bride price with his life. At the Last Supper, when breaking bread, he spoke of the price he was paying by saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." Another important part of the betrothal contract is the cup. If the bride price was agreeable, the young woman's father, the young man, to the young woman's father, the young man would pour a glass of wine for the young woman. If the young woman drank the wine, it would indicate her acceptance of the proposal. At this point, the young man and the young woman would be betrothed. Betrothal was legally binding, just like marriage. The only difference was that the marriage was not yet consummated. A typical betrothal period, now listen, this is important. A typical betrothal period was 1 to 2 years. During this time, the bride and the bridegroom wouldn't see each other, but they would be preparing for the marriage during that time. Now, Jesus' fulfillment of the cup. Jesus, as the bridegroom, would pour a cup of wine for the bride to drink to seal the marriage contract. So Jesus poured wine for his disciples at the Last Supper. And his words describe the significance of the cup in representing the bride price for the marriage contract. Jesus said, he took the cup and gave thanks and offered him. And he said this, he said, "Drink it from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." The disciples drank the cup, thus accepting the contract. Another part of the betrothal contract was this. The groom would give gifts to the bride. He would give her special gifts. And the purpose of these gifts was to show the bridegroom's appreciation for the bride, but it was also intended to help her during their time of the betrothal period, of being apart. Jesus said, Father God would send his Holy Spirit when he ascended to heaven. And he did send his Holy Spirit. And it says this in 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Are you seeing this? The Jewish wedding betrothal contract. Jesus has fulfilled all of these things so far, right? Amen? He paid the bride price, did he not? With his own life. He laid down his body. He gave the cup for us to drink to accept the contract of the bridal betrothal price. And we accepted the contract. And then he ascended to heaven and he sent Holy Spirit and he sent gifts with Holy Spirit to help us during this time that we're apart from him until he comes back again. He's fulfilled all these things. Let me show you another thing. There's another thing that the bride would do during this time of separation. It's called a mikvah. Anybody ever heard of a mikvah? A mikvah is a cleansing bath that the bride would take while she was apart from the bridegroom. A cleansing bath. The word mikvah is the same word that we use for baptism. So we accept the contract, and then we get baptized. Come on, y'all. Guess what happens next? What happens next is the groom, the bridegroom, goes away to prepare a place so that he can come back. Look, this is what happens during the betrothal period. The bridegroom would prepare a wedding chamber for the honeymoon. Remember, they're separated from each other for at least a year. This chamber was typically built in the bridegroom's father's house or in his father's property. It's built in his father's house or in his father's property. Are you hearing this? The wedding chamber had to be built to the groom's father's specifications. The young man could go for his bride only when his father approved. If the bridegroom was asked when the wedding would be, that he might say something like this, "It is not for me to know, only my father knows." The bridegroom wouldn't know. It was only up to his father, and his father would wait until he felt like it was the appropriate time and everything was in order. Then he would turn to his son. He would turn to the bridegroom and say, "Now you're ready, go get your bride." Jesus said this, he said in John 14:1-3, he said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room." Man, I feel the Holy Spirit in this place right now. Oh, come on, just turn to somebody and say, "Get ready. Get ready. He's about to come. He's about to come." He said, "There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you?" I know I'm a crybaby, but this is Holy Spirit. Just close your eyes for a moment. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, don't let us be caught unaware. I feel the Father's heart crying out this morning. So many think they're ready, but they're not ready. They're just playing games with this. They're so caught up in this life. They're so caught up in the world that they're living in that they're not seeing the Father in his heart crying out to you. And I believe there are people watching right now. You're watching on live stream right now and you're not ready for Jesus to come. You need to get your heart ready. He's coming. He's coming. Ready or not, he's coming. He said, "There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." Another part of the betrothal contract was a waiting bride consecrated. While the bridegroom was preparing the wedding chamber, the bride was considered to be consecrated or set apart. She was bought with a price. This is the Jewish marriage contract. If she went out, she would wear a veil so others would know that she was set apart, that she was betrothed. Oh, come on, y'all. Do other people know that you are betrothed? Do other people know that you were bought with a price? Do other people know that you have a bridegroom coming to get you very soon? Does it show? Or do you look like the world? Do they just pass by you and you look like everybody else they pass by today? Or when they pass by you, does something grab them and grip them? Does something get a hold of their spirit? You couldn't mistake seeing someone who was betrothed. They'd have a veil. You would know immediately in the Jewish wedding ceremony and the Jewish wedding contract. You know immediately, well, that person's betrothed. That woman's betrothed. She's got a veil over her face. Does somebody know you're betrothed to Jesus? Matthew 25, Jesus told this parable of the 10 virgins. And he says, 5 of them were wise virgins and 5 were foolish. The wise virgins were prepared. They took oil for their lamps. They're ready for Jesus to come. They were ready for him to come and get them. They were set apart. They had the oil. Amen? The oil of Holy Spirit. Come on, y'all. And another part of the betrothal contract, and this is the important thing that I wanted to get to today, is then the bridegroom comes for his bride. When the bridegroom's father deemed the wedding chamber ready, the father would tell the bridegroom that all was ready and to go get his bride. The bridegroom would abduct his bride secretly. Like a thief in the night, he would come and take her away and take her to the wedding chamber. As the bridegroom approached the bride's home, he would shout and blow a shofar, a ram's horn, so that he would warn her. It would be a warning to her that he's coming to get her and to get her belongings. She'd have her belongings with her. Do you know during this contract, during a year or 2 years that they were separated, the bride would always be ready, dressed and ready. Every day, all day long, dressed and ready, and have all her belongings with her so that the moment that the trumpet was blown, the shofar was blown, she could just grab hold of her stuff that's with her and he would take her away like a thief in the night. This is the rapture. As I've described you in scriptures today. During this period of time after he takes her away, what happens during this is this. They would spend 7 days. He'd take her away to the wedding chamber and they would spend 7 days in the wedding chamber. That's what would happen. Now, I want you to think about this because I'm going to show you something in just a second as I close this out. But Jesus' fulfillment of the 7 days in the wedding chamber, in ancient Jewish eschatology, they taught that a 7-year period of trouble or time of trouble would come upon the earth before the coming Messiah. This is in ancient Jewish eschatology. They would teach that a 7-year time of trouble, tribulation, would come upon the earth, okay? But during that time of trouble, the righteous would be resurrected and would enter the wedding chamber where they would be protected from the time of trouble. This is not Christian. This is in Jewish eschatology. That they would be taken away, like a bridegroom comes and takes away the bride and taken to the wedding chamber for those 7-year period of time to protect it from the trouble. Today, that 7-year period of time is referred to as tribulation by the Christians. It's referred to as birth pangs by the Jews. Even Jewish eschatology teaches that we will not go through this 7-year tribulation time because where will we be for those 7 years? We'll be in the wedding chamber. We'll be with our bridegroom. Let me ask you a question after hearing all of this today. Why would God, after fulfilling all of this shadow, all of this type and shadow of the Jewish wedding contract, why would he break from that at the end and do something different? Why would he do that? Let me tell you, he won't. I promise you, he won't. Scripture points to this. This Jewish wedding contract points to this. God's not going to break from that and do something different. Why would he do that to us? Why would he do that to his son's bride? Could you imagine the groom's father saying to the groom, you know what? Everything's ready, but let's just turn her over to the most vile man that we know for the next 7 days and let him beat the heck out of her. And then you can go get your bride. He would never do that. Can you imagine Father God saying to Jesus, you know what? Everything's ready, but let's just let them go through this 7 year period of tribulation. Let's just let them go through that. Let's just turn them over to Satan for 7 years. It'll be good for them. And then we'll go get them. That's not the Father God I know. That's not who I read about in this word. That's not the Father God that I talk to every day. That's not the one that I see crying out to his children day and night in this word. Amen? I'm telling you that the rapture is real. I'm telling you that only those who are ready will go. I'm telling you that will happen very soon, before the tribulation period. Jesus is so ready to come get us. And he's just waiting on Father God to say, everything is ready, everything is prepared, go get your bride. And when that happens, the moment, listen to me, the moment that happens, can you imagine in the Jewish wedding contract, can you imagine the groom sitting there waiting? He's been waiting for a year or two. He can't wait to go get his bride. Can you imagine his father saying to him, saying, hey, everything's ready, go get your bride. And he's like, you know what? Just let me finish this movie first, and then I'm in the middle of dinner right now, Dad. No, and Jesus won't either. He won't hesitate, not one second. It will happen in a moment. It will happen atomos. Before you can say now, as soon as God says go, Jesus is gone. And the moment that that happens, the trumpet will sound and we will meet him in the air, all of us together. Won't that be awesome? Ethan, I can't wait, man. I can't wait for it to happen. I'm just going to look over and, hey, Ethan! Woo, look, I'm flying! I'm going to share one more thing with you, and then I'm going to pray for all of us, and then we're going to take communion together. We're going to remember the contract that we accepted. Amen? When I was a kid, when I was a child, I had dreams all the time of flying. Anybody ever have those dreams that you were flying? I had dreams all the time, like constant dreams that I was flying. And in the dreams of me flying, I've told you this before, some of you remember this. In the dreams of me flying, in the dream I would start out and I was just on the ground and I would start running. And then I would just lift off, but when I lifted off, it was like I couldn't get enough air. I would start to fly along the ground real low, but it was pretty good chance I was going to crash, right? But then I would learn to like lift my body up and I'd start flying higher and higher. And eventually I started flying so high, I was above the trees and up near the clouds. And then I got nervous. Like, I don't want to crash way up here. It's okay if I crash when I'm this close to the ground. And one of the things that over the years, I just kept having these dreams. One of the things that the Lord showed me later in life when I looked back on these was he was showing me in the spirit realm, he was preparing me for something. Spiritually, God is calling us to fly. Amen? But the one thing that kept holding me back from really soaring like I could was fear. Fear. Anybody have these dreams and you know what I'm talking about? Like in the dream, you're fearful of getting too high. I know this is Holy Spirit right now. I wasn't prepared to share this, but I'm telling you right now, every person in this place, don't be afraid to fly. Don't be afraid to fly with Jesus. He's not going to let you down. You can trust him. You can trust him. You can fly with him. It's okay. He's not going to let you down. He's coming for you. So why don't you just sell out to him? Yeah? Why don't you just sell out to him? Why are you worried about this life and what's going to happen on this earth? Don't be worried. Don't worry. I thought everybody else could do it. Don't worry. And of course, yes. Seriously, don't worry. Look at somebody next to you and say, don't worry. Jesus is coming. He's coming. So are you ready? I want you to close your eyes this morning. Are you ready? I believe there are many people in this place and many watching this morning that are ready, but I believe there are many who aren't. And if you're not ready, and you want to be certain that you're ready to meet Jesus, I want you to stand if you're in this building. If you're not sure that you're ready, and you want to be ready to meet him when he comes, I want you to stand. I'm not saying you haven't accepted Jesus. I'm not saying you haven't prayed a prayer. You might have prayed a prayer, but you're just not sure that you're ready. Maybe you've been living kind of a double life. Maybe you've been holding on to this earth too tightly. Come on, y'all. You've been holding on too tightly. It's not about this life. It's about what's to come. This life is just preparation for what's about to come. You're just making preparations for the bridegroom to come get you. Have you been making proper preparations for the bridegroom to come get you? If you haven't, then I want you to stand. If you're watching live stream right now and that's you, I just want you to hold up your hand to signify. You may be at your workplace, you may be at home, but do something to signify I'm standing. All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person who's responded today. Father, do a work inside of them that you desire to do. Lord God, shake them. Thank you for moving upon them by these words today, Father. Thank you for revealing to them your good plan. Lord, I just pray right now that their lives would be forever changed. Lord, that they would be totally sold out to you, totally committed to you. That they would surrender all, Father. And walk each day with passion and purpose to put you at the center of everything. Father, do a work in them right now. If you're standing or you're watching and you responded, I just want you to say two words. Just say, I surrender. Thank you, Jesus.